Good afternoon, Muskegon.
Good afternoon, Muskegon.
This is Tony Williams.
And Chauncey Williams with What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.
Man, I'm glad you back.
Yeah.
It's just, I got my man next to me. So and I'm sure the audience does too. It just gives us a different perspective across the board on the topic. So hope you enjoyed your sabbatical, but I'm glad you're back.
Yep, I did, and got some things done, and our season going, and got some things in place with my students and everything. So sometimes you need that little break, a little time.
Oh, absolutely, man. You know, the show's a half an hour, but there's prep time that you have to do research along with all the other stuff that you have to do. So just having one of those things off your plate, I'm sure, gave you a little more opportunity to focus on some other things at hand. But as we always do, we like to start our show off with some sports talk.
That's right.
And right now the talk is the Muskegon Big Reds football team won a state championship over the past weekend.
That's right. They did. And they were one of the best teams in the division that they're in. They were the best. Undefeated.
Actually, in Detroit, a lot of the talk from the sports writers were they were the best team at the final.
Wow.
Okay. Those are kind of accolades. Because you look at the division one game, the final score was 3-2.
That's right.
That's a baseball score, hockey score. And they said, well, even though, you know, they were okay defenses, Muskegon would have scored on both of those teams. Second game, Warren D. LaSalle, lopsided game, didn't really play anybody. So that was the marquee game of the weekend. That's how that was promoted.
That's why all the scholarships are rolling in right now for the kids from
the
Big Reds.
And the scholarships, you know. A lot of kids, they won't get D1 scholarships.
That don't matter. That's money.
But a lot of kids are going to get scholarships because of that platform that they played on in Detroit. And then we also got to, you know, I think what else happened was they really had a firsthand look at Ladarius. You know, the other kid on the other side of the ball was number 7. Going to Notre Dame. He was up for Mr. Basketball. The other kid that played the day before was Wes Bloomfield. He was the quarterback. He was in the running for Mr. Football. Okay. So out of the four, three played that weekend.
That's right. So then the one that the best shined.
The one that shined the most won the award, and rightfully so. You know, when you look at the full body of work over the season. It was the right call.
And then, like, we watched it at the restaurant, me and my wife, and we were sitting there watching it, and I was seeing people being critical. I'm like, why are you keeping the ball? Why are you not throwing it? I'm like, that's their offense. And I said, you guys got to think. You got a quarterback that everybody is eyeing on, and you got CJ, you got McCall, you got all these fast weapons. If you give it to one of them, it's a turn it into 60 yards.
Oh, yeah.
So it's either he keep it, and they like, oh, we probably can stop the quarterback, or he pitches to one of them and you get a 60-yard touchdown. So the old school coach on the other side, Wes Bloomfield, he knew. He's like, I gotta stay home on these other guys and see if we can if this one guy can stop this quarterback. He thought he was a regular high school kid, but he found out that he had 6 players that played 2 ways.
Okay.
And Muskegon football, where those boys out.
That was the game plan. All right, we're gonna take this offensive line we have and we're gonna pound them. We're gonna grind it out. Give the ball
to
Ladarius.
They called it the big special or something. What was it called with the package? I kept on hearing it on TV.
All I know is the jumbo package,
that
man.
It is. That's what it's called.
Jumbo. And when they lined that jumbo up, he walked into the end zone every time untouched.
Every time untouched.
Just wore him out. Then on the other side of the football, think about it. The defense was stellar.
Okay.
We gave up special team. Special teams was our weakness.
Yeah, they were.
Opening kickoff. Other than that, they never got into the end zone.
That's right. Good to have special teams all night. They probably could have scored,
that kid
scored
was good,
about 2
though.
More touchdowns.
When that kid caught
that boy
football,
was scanning that field.
That boy was good, man. Yeah, he's a junior, too.
He's going to be a D1 prospect.
Yeah, no doubt. No, I was impressed with him.
He turned nothing into something.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And somebody else I was impressed with was Willie Shanks.
Oh, man. All year, Willie Shanks, to me, I know Ladarius did a great job, but when I look at the progression from last year to this year, as far as an individual player on Muskegon's football team, I mean, Willie Shanks is the one that excelled the most from one year to the next.
Yes, he did.
So, most improved player. Because you got to remember, Shanks was on that play
at the end of the game. But you know, everybody knows one play don't determine the game.
It don't.
But if that's if you want to go your high school career to end after making a mistake like that, and being able to be in that situation the next year and break a record.
See, he spent his time off season studying film, watching tapes of other receivers. He made himself a better defensive back, and I think that play was the driving force because he broke a record. 10 interceptions in a season for Muskegon, that's great. It's incredible.
I think he could play on Sundays.
Man.
I've been knowing him since he was a little kid. I had coached him when he was at Loftus in elementary school, and we put him at point guard because he was so tough.
He tough. That Bo was a beast, man.
And if you tell him no, he think he can go no matter what. He like, you're going to wall right there. You can't go through that, Bo.
Watch it.
He like, I'm going to try, coach. And if he can't, he'll get frustrated. And he's like, I'm going to come back. I'm going to come back at the wall tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. That's how he did.
And I'm happy for him and everything. And just knowing his family on both sides, it's like, it's good to see a kid and for other kids in the community to see somebody persevere, to be in that, be on one side when you lose and come back and say, I'm going to do my best and be rewarded with your name go up for the records. For the mistake you made, your name go up for the record. Like,
that's right.
That's like you deleted your mistake.
You know how long that record going to stand, man?
Man, 10 is hard to
get.
That's
10, man. Yeah.
That's one a game in the regular season at least.
That's one a game.
And your Muskegon player averaged 12 games anyway.
Yeah, minimum.
Season. So average high school player, eight.
Eight, nine
probably
games.
Probably nine.
That's it.
So you got to get a pick every game.
Every game, man.
That's
some teams don't throw the football.
That's right.
So if they don't throw the football, like you know, Zealand West, they didn't throw the football.
They didn't throw the football.
But they had a game, they had a 7-on-7 tournament this past summer against DeWitt, right? DeWitt won that 7-on-7 tournament championship. Kirk Cousins.
Yes.
Okay. And
I remember that.
That was the chatter, okay?
But I didn't even know equipment on, though.
Yeah, there's no equipment. So that game was the best game that Bo played all year.
I heard.
He controlled that football game.
Yep.
And the receiver, their best receiver, he had him. And I watched the game, and the kid was he got so frustrated, he actually kicked Bo. Referees didn't call it, but it's clearly on tape. He hit him, he slapped at him, and then he tried to kick him. Because Bo just took his game away. And he said, I watched that kid. I watched that film. He said, I counted his steps. I knew when he was going to turn. And whenever he turned, he said, I was going to be there. I think he got two pick sixes in that game.
That
was incredible.
Credit goes to everybody. But just looking at this kid like you were determined. And it's two things when you look at somebody like that. Like you could be passionate, but then you could be obsessed with your passion. And that's what he did. He went to another level where it wasn't negative. It was like I'm possessed to be the greatest at it.
Yes,
I'm obsessed to it. Like it's like I'm just gonna be to the point where that's all I think about.
Right, nobody can stop me. And he should have probably had, if my count is correct, he should have had 15 because there were some games, man.
Called back.
Well, he was just a split second, but he had timed his break on the ball. But it was a split second where he just couldn't get there. But he had the receiver covered. So he could have had 15 this year.
The kid was
incredible, man. It's great, great season.
Sundays. That boy going to be playing
great
on Sundays.
Great season for the Big Reds in football, man.
Yep.
And the cupboard is not bare, by the way.
I know.
The cupboard is not bare.
It's a new group coming.
Well, you're only losing one off the offensive line.
Ooh.
And we got a replacement for him.
The jumbo package is back.
That's it.
Yep.
Yeah, so exciting. But now it's time to shift gears.
Yes, right.
Big Red basketball.
Yes,
it's already started.
Yes, we are. Our girls playing. We lost a tough one to East Kentwood. We didn't have all our pieces, but we played a great game, 26-24 at second quarter. Second half came. They showed why they were the second best team in the state. I think we ranked 23. And they gave us an idea on how we need to grow the rest of our season.
Kentwood, is it ranked that high?
Yep.
They got a good girls program.
They lost in the championship last year, I think, to Flushing.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, don't you? Yep. Yeah, sure did. Yep.
So give them all the kudos and everything, and thank you for scheduling that first game for us to set the prejudices for our girls. So kudos to our athletic director setting the game like that for a big stage.
That's right. Because
our gym was packed. The boys did not play after us. They didn't play before us. All the bleachers was out. It was a straight fan affair for our girls, and it was a straight-up battle for about, I give it a good 19 minutes, our girls played toe-to-toe with them.
Okay.
So it's a couple lapses. But other than that, I think if we see them again, when we see them again, I'm not predicting anything too big. I'm not going to do that on the radio. But I feel that we got a good chance.
Well,
we got a good chance.
That's the good thing about basketball.
Yep.
Everybody makes the tournament.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep, everybody makes it. Hey, Judge. All right?
Yeah, everybody makes the tournament.
Yep, everybody makes it. So I can't wait to see some good things. And then the boys start with us on Friday. This is going to run on the time after that. But the boys start Friday. They got a pretty good team.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, I haven't had opportunity to see them in action.
Yeah.
But the weekend of the state finals, I spoke to one of the guys that went over and watched the scrimmage.
At John Glenn.
John Glenn. And
it went undefeated.
And was truly impressed because percentage of the kids was playing football that
That's
night.
That's right.
Okay. So he took a half of basketball team over there and won.
He took about six guys with him, and the eight guys is on the football team. They was on the football field.
Right. Is that incredible, man?
So he got two teams.
Yeah. So, yeah, come on out, you know, and watch some basketball. Watch the girls and the boys at Redmond Potter Gym this season. Support them. They need it.
It's going to be an amazing year, and having a football team behind us is going to be even a very better carry for everybody.
Yeah, school of champions, man. Yep. That's what we want to be known as.
Because if you look at Clarkston, they boys' football program won
the basketball.
That's right.
And they were right there in football.
And they just won it in football. Yeah. Even though it was 3-2, they still won it. So I say a lot about that
win
program.
Win is a win.
And them kids, those kids are believing in that whole brand.
Yeah. So, yeah, Dugan Pfeiffer, they got some pedigree over at that school through Michigan State. Basketball for years. His dad, I think, was a coach. So good pedigree. So maybe we'll get a chance to see them as well.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, before we go, move on, I'm going to revert back to football and talk about next season. Where we have Warren D. LaSalle and Martin Luther King and East Grand Rapids the first three games. All teams went deep into the playoffs. So.
But look, I mean, the years past, they didn't want to play us.
They didn't want to play us.
De La Salle and Martin Luther King, they didn't want nothing to do with us.
No.
Now they hold up. They made it down here in our backyard, and they clown.
They keep showing up down here in Detroit on Thanksgiving.
And we not.
And we're not.
We got to play them now.
That's great. That's what we want, man. Because we know what our conference schedule is, right?
Yeah, we know that.
So we want a tough non-conference schedule, so this is great.
Smash mouth football.
That's right. If we lose two of those games, we still going to make the playoffs just because of the conference. We may not get home in the field advantage, but it's going to give us a good gauge where our team is, and I doubt very, very rarely if we would lose both games. But, just a preference for next season.
Yeah, we got one more sports tidbit is my man is always in the news.
Got to talk about him, man.
The ball, man. He's balling out. He's balling out, isn't he? He's balling out.
We always promote dads being involved in their kids' lives.
That's right. I mean, and I had some good things to say about ball, but nah, he too involved. Now
it's overbearing.
Yeah.
Okay. To the point where, like the Lakers, they like ball.
Yes.
They like him as a kid, as a player. But his dad brings so much baggage and disruption to the organization, you got to talk about risk and reward.
That's okay? Right.
Is the risk worth the reward? You know, destroying our basketball team with his rhetoric.
Because there's levels to this. It's like as he progresses success, is the monster of his father going to get bigger?
Oh, really? Really? Yeah. Yeah. So he didn't hire an agent now for both his sons. So now they are totally ineligible to play basketball in college, any college. So now you got to go overseas if they want to play any kind of high-level basketball. And those folks over there may take a different view of it based on him, the dad. So he may be mixing a concoction that might blow up in his face. I hope not for the kid's sake.
Man,
but he's bigger than the kids, man, and that's not
one boy. One boy, a sophomore.
Yeah,
and he can't play in high school no more.
He done. Can't play. He's gonna homeschool him. You know, he took him off the basketball team at high school. He's gonna homeschool him, and then the kid at UCLA that got in trouble over in China, they basically said, okay, forget it. He pulled him off the team. So both of those kids are no longer involved in organized basketball. The only the one son, and I can never remember his name, on the Lakers.
Melo. Lonzo.
Yeah, Lonzo. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens from this point forward, man. But for those kids' sake, I hope it all works out for them. I really do, because they seem like good kids. Even the shoplifting deal. Yeah. All right? Okay, we can't crucify the kid for that.
No, we can't.
All right? He made one mistake. So let's get over it, move forward, and hopefully the kids can have a productive life.
You're right. So, yeah, we back. I'm back. We got a book and stuff we've been working on. We got a package. And it's right at the right time. It's called Good for Nothing. And it's based on the principles of the biblical Bible on what do you do with your money. And not what do I do now, but good for nothing. Like, mm-hmm. How could you take a seed that you're trying to sow into something good, or you won't sow a seed to invest or save? And what are the biblical principles behind money?
Okay. So good stuff, man.
So it's about what? 2,000 scriptures, 18 out of 36 parables that is there. It's just financial literacy, what the Bible says about money. And I say, well, what's the perfect time to bring it in? Is around the holiday time.
Holiday season.
Because you got people window shopping. They buying gifts. They thinking it's about this. They think it's about that. So what we have is a project me and Tony have called Good for Nothing. And it's going to be released in January when the new year comes. Because I'm starting to see posts on Facebook talking about people say 800 credit score in 45 days. They want to get their credit fixed. They want insurance. They're looking at all the things now because some people are getting close to a New Year's resolution.
Yes.
But my thing is, I responded to someone. I was like, can you have a score of 80 in 95 days and 45 days? I was like, well, I'm not really thinking that you can have an 800 credit score. But there are situations where if you got old things in your credit report and you got some cash in lieu to pay some things off, mm-hmm. it could be a possibility based on your age, all those other things that comes to the equation. You could have an 800, but it's a slim chance of you being an 800 if you have bad habits.
Right.
Bad money habits.
But it's good to increase it. You may not hit the 800, but if you're working on the right things and you get an increase in your credit score over that process of 45 days, even if it's not 800, it's still a positive move. Yes.
Exactly. You're exactly right. So just trying to build and see. So we got good for now. I got chapter one. I'm going to get right into it. It says the financial biblical series of trusting God with the least. That's what it basically is, meaning money. So trust God with the least. And I say that, trust God with the least. Trust God with the least. So the first thing is God's purpose for your finances. And that's like an underlining question. You're like, mm-hmm. Well, I got these bills. I got these kids. I got to get these food, right?
Right.
So the first thing is, what is God's purpose for your money? So one scripture I have is Proverbs 13, chapter 13, verse 18. If you ignore criticism, you will end in poverty and disgrace. If you accept correction, you will be honored. And I think about how the Lord will chase you. He'll chase you because when you're thinking about somebody being critical of you, you have to be critical of your finances.
Absolutely, Chance.
You have to be. I'm like, you really have to say, why did you buy that? Why did you do this?
Mm-hmm.
Why am I purchasing that? Do I need a new car?
Mm-hmm.
Do I need a new cell phone? Is this necessary in the house? So when you say critical, the criticism comes to teach and correct you.
That's right. And you should always ask yourself that when you're making purchases, you know, especially major purchases, you know, we always talk about wants and needs.
That's right.
Okay. And we definitely understand the fact that needs come before wants. Okay. And depending on where you are in this spectrum of trying to improve your financial position will help you determine the kind of purchases you need to make. It's going to use, you're going to have the right filters to be able to discern between wants and needs. And maybe that's a problem for people. They don't really understand that phenomenon of wants and needs. Okay. But the question that you're asking is, when you be critical, ask yourself, what would tomorrow be like if I didn't make that purchase?
Or if you have your financial advisor, your accountant, or somebody telling you, like, you need to do this. That's being critical of your money for you.
Involve other folks in the process.
Professional people.
Yeah.
To help you, lead you along the way. Because you can look good. You can think you got everything going on because you got these material things moving. But then you working to sustain material stuff.
Right. And you're not saving. You're not moving forward financially. Okay. It's like being on a treadmill.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're working hard, but you're not getting anywhere because you're purchasing the wrong things for the wrong reasons.
And it's not helping you progress. So the next scripture I have is Proverbs 21, chapter 21, verse 15. Justice is a joy to the godly, but it terrifies evildoers. So justice is a joy to the godly, like being just, doing what's right.
Doing what's right.
Like doing what's right. Okay, this is what I'm supposed to do with what I have with this money, so I'm going to do it. I'm not going to cheat. I'm not going to rob Peter, pay Paul. I'm going to be like, okay, well, this goes here, this goes here, this goes here. Whatever I have left, that's what I have.
Okay.
So I'm going to do the justice, and I'm gonna have joy. Some type of feelings is going to be attached to that.
Yeah.
Be like, of joy, like, okay, I paid my debtors, people I owe my debt to. I paid them, and then, so when somebody has an evildoer, it terrified them. They're going to bills.
Yeah.
They're going to bills. What I'm going to do, I can't pay this person. I can't pay that person. So then that brings anxiety in because you have the issues that you're dealing with in your finances. And God didn't create money to be something to terrify you about. It wasn't created to terrify nobody.
Think about it this way. You know, maybe some won't admit it, but if you're involved in illegal activities and you're making money, there's some anxiety that's going to come with that because you're looking over your shoulder thinking, you know, the boys in blue.
That's right.
Or the boys from the hood.
That's right.
You have become a target for them because of the illegal activity in which you are using to gain wealth.
That's got to be a scary experience to be gaining wealth or like to purchase something with ill-gotten
gains.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like you go buy a car and everything you gain when you bought the car, you did it illegally.
You did it illegally. You know, and then when you lay down and go to sleep at night, how sound can you, when you really sleep? Because in the back of your mind, you know there could always be that knock on the door.
Or the kick in.
Or the kick in because of your lifestyle.
Man.
So, you know, those ill gains sometimes, man, it will wear on a person mentally.
Yes, sir.
Okay, it may look good as a facade for those that don't understand totally what's going on. Oh, look at him, man.
Yep.
He got the ride.
Nice,
he got the ride.
Nice coat, nice car, man. Okay, man, I would love to be in shoes. That's envy. Don't even get into that.
No.
Just have joy at where you're at. Sometimes, I try to unplug from social media because sometimes you have people that post things that are not really, that's not the reality.
Right.
You know? And when you look at that, you're like, well, that's not what the purpose of what you're supposed to be serving. Next, the translation of that is, faithful completion of one's work is a great accomplishment. And we're just talking about that. It's like you translated in the scripture. Being a diligent worker does not come naturally to some people.
That's right.
It is a result of strong character, right? But don't look for shortcuts that result in inefficiency. Work hard as if it's in the service of God. Look at you. You know you a man of God.
5 days a week.
You just took my translation without even the notes in front of you and said the things that I've got in the notes of the book in the chapter one. Yeah, now even though I know you've seen the text, but you don't have it in front of you today.
No,
we just feed off each other, audience. Tony, that's why I say that you got to have people that's older or experienced things, so when they give you something, it's right in the word. You line up with the word, what you say. But Tony's someone that is a business owner in this community and a stakeholder in this community where he supports sports programs for youth and everything and the community at whole. So he just gave the same advice that I had in scripture.
And live it, see? That's it. 5 days a week, 12 hours a day. Brother go home, he tired, man.
Yeah,
okay,
that's it.
Sleep
tired.
Good.
You supposed to be. I do too. I still wake up at 4:30.
Okay.
I stop setting the clock. That's amazing.
But there's a different kind of
joy. You just
there
said
you
it.
Go.
And
joy.
Just, you know you're doing what's right. You're like, God's word is lined up with this.
Right.
So if God's word lined up with this, I'm sowing seed. I'm giving back.
Yes.
The fruit going to come back to me, but I'm not really looking at it that way.
Mm-mm.
I'm not looking at a car. I'm not looking at this material thing. I'm looking at, do my wife love me? Do my students love what I do with them?
Mm-hmm.
Do people respect me in the community? Do I carry myself with integrity? Do I work hard every day? Oh, yeah. I'm okay then.
Your legacy is going to be not the size of the house, not the kind of a car, but how many people that you touched through your work.
Yep.
People that will come back and say one day, thanks.
Thank you.
Made a difference in my life.
I heard a pastor say this the other day. He said, I'm anointed in service.
Okay.
So your grace is sufficient through the service you
your
provide,
service.
And you're anointed in that.
That's right.
That brings
That's
joy.
Priceless.
That's the purpose of your money.
Yes.
Trust me with the least. Here's another one. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. The Lord God placed man in the Garden of Eden to tend and watch over it.
That's right.
He gave him, say, name all these animals. This yours. Do this. Because I put this here before you.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
2,000 years ago, the provision is inside of us to speak to the things that are not there, to make them there.
Right.
To name the things as they are. That's a dog. That's a deer. That's going to be this. That's a tree.
Mm-hmm.
You have that in your vocabulary because the first time God announced himself, he says, I am.
I am.
So the purpose of money is for you to tend and be a good steward.
Be a good steward.
So here's my translation. It says, God gave Adam responsibility for the garden and told him not to eat from the tree of good and evil.
That's what he said.
Rather than physically preventing him from eating, God gave Adam a choice. And in that choice, thus the possibility of choosing wrongly, God still gives us choices.
Every
and
day.
We too choose wrongly. These wrong choices may cause us pain, but they can keep us keep us and help us learn to grow and make better choices. In the future, living with consequences of our choices teaches us to think and choose more carefully. I'm not doing that again.
Okay.
I'm not hanging with them. I'm not spending my money in that manner.
Right. Choices.
I was just telling somebody the other day, I think about when I was younger, in my early 20s, the things I bought. I say, nah, I just need 5 dress shirts, 5 dress pants. And then if I want to be nice and slick, I have a couple suits. But other than anything, about none. If I can just have all my gear with my Muskegon brand shirt on it,
right,
jogging suits and shoes, I'm good. And as long as I can go to work looking like a professional, I win.
That's it.
So I can serve the purpose I'm supposed to serve. So then all that other stuff you're trying to keep up with, you don't even have to worry about that.
Yeah, the latest fashions, man, don't mean a thing.
Don't mean a thing.
End of the day.
Your name would be great.
You just went and bought some clothes that you could have actually took that money and, like you say, blessed somebody else or invested that money somewhere.
Yes, sir.
Where you got some benefit from it.
Yep. So here, next scripture, Proverbs 24:30-34. It's one of my favorite ones. It starts, it says, I walk by the field of a lazy person, the vineyard of one with no common sense. I saw that it was overgrown with nettles, like weeds.
Mm-hmm.
It was covered with weeds and its walls were broken down. Then as I looked and thought about it, I learned this lesson. A little extra sleep, a little more slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, then poverty will pounce on you like a bandit. Scarcity will attack you like an armed robber.
Mm.
That means it's okay to live a life, but if you think like, okay, God got me, I got grace,
mm-hmm.
or I'm going to do it my way, those kind of mindsets where you don't want to do anything, weeds
right.
are growing to the good flowers that you have.
That's it.
And choke them up. It's the farmer story of sowing the 4 seeds
mm-hmm.
on a rocky soil.
On a rocky soil.
Where he planted it, where it was shallow, where the birds came and took it up, right?
Right.
The wind blew it away. But then you got the last one. It's like, this is a fertile soil. You plant it. You are what you sow. You sow yeah. you sow love, you get love.
That's
you
right.
sow money, you get it back. You got to keep on sowing it.
And believe it.
And believe it. Every day. That's one of my favorite from this chapter.
Yeah, you could play off of that one on a number of illustrations, but for time's sake, we're going to keep it moving because
okay.
we're getting down to
yep.
the time.
Yes, Psalm 65, verse 11. You crown the year with a bountiful harvest. Even the hard pathways overflow with abundance. So as you go in, it's saying that as you look at your new year getting ready to come in
mm-hmm.
with your purpose of money, are you entering it from the past sown seeds, or you're seeing it like, well, you expected something, but you never putting in nothing.
Right. Yeah.
But imagine going to the bank and you never put in anything. They gonna call the police on you.
You better have a gun because you know you won't have any money in the bank. Okay. So, but that's a great analogy.
Yeah, because the rest of the scripture says, because he got a semicolon, you know, it got a sentence and it got a semicolon, right? Semicolon, you got independent and dependent clause. So you got a complete thought, right? You crown a year with a bountiful harvest. Complete.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's complete. But even the hard pathways flow with abundance. So the hard pathways can't flow with abundance because you're not crowning the year like, this is my year.
Right.
I'm going to win. I done sold some seeds and built this legacy. This is my year. I'm walking into this. I don't care if it was hard. I don't care if you say I can't do it.
Right.
I'm going to make a way. Do this.
That's it. and you look at the past year to say, okay, these were my goals from last year. These I achieved. These I didn't quite achieve. So guess what? They moved to the top of the list now because I accomplished those other ones. And now this year, these are the ones that I want to accomplish. Every year, you have to do that.
Yeah, but you have to do that.
You know, there's no finish line in life, all right, till the day that God takes your breath away.
Yeah, I could just see that. Like, just speaking that, saying, like, this is going to be my year.
Yeah.
And then from then on, you're like, okay, the past seeds I've sown, even the hard pathways will overflow in abundance. So the times you had hardship is going to be a time it's going to be blessing. The tenfold blessing, the double fold, it's just like, damn, how's my storehouse keep on being full with wheat? And how does this keep on coming in? Because you crowned it with the harvest. You're like, I sold, so I expect it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
that's good stuff.
Our show. I know it's 30 minutes. I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for financial success with 103.7 The Beat.